Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
Good morning. How are you? Great, good, great. I heard it great. I'm Father Tyler Tenbarge. I'm a friend of Father Anthony, your pastor. We studied in Rome together for a year. I was already ordained and he was still in school. I can give you some more stories about that, but not officially, not in front of the altar anyway. I'm down here today to give the homily for this Mass, but also to do a mission tonight and the next two nights to share some kind of words of encouragement. I have to say, though, when we came in this morning at like 7:25, have anybody been to the 8 o'clock Mass here? We've seen like the craziness that is the circus of getting this gym set up. We went from that door to that doorway to take our vestments into a room over there, and I met 55 people, all of whom had their own job and knew exactly what they were doing. It was amazing. And all of a sudden, this gym became a church. What a great gift that is. The last thing I want to say about that is, this is the only church I've ever been to, parish I've been to, where the front pews or front seats fill up faster than the back ones did. And I thought, Father, how are you doing that, right? The answer? Cushion chairs. That's brilliant. I'm writing that down for me for later. This morning I want to tell you a story. It goes back 500 years. Leonardo da Vinci, one of the great master painters, was asked to paint a wall of a refectory, a dining room for monks in Milan. And when he was asked to paint that wall, it was basically kind of above a doorway on the far end of a very tall and narrow room. He decided that his subject matter, since this is a religious painting in a dining hall, should be what? The Last Supper. Yeah, these are easy ones, right? No trick questions. Last Supper. So he says, I'm going to paint the Last Supper on this wall in this dining hall. But unlike everyone else who had painted the Last Supper recently, he wasn't just going to picture the same Jesus and the same Peter and the same James and John and all of them. He was going to find real-life people living in Milan to come in and pose as models for each of the individuals in that painting. Have you heard this story? It's a true story. So he's going to find models. And so after he painted the background, he went to Mass one Sunday in the Duomo, or the Cathedral of Milan, and he sat over on the side. And while everyone was going up for communion and going back to their seats on the outside, he was looking at them as they returned, because he wanted to find the most important person for the painting to do first, and that is Jesus. So he sat over there on the side and watched them return to their seats after communion. And one young man, beard, long flowing hair, he just seemed to like radiate light. He seemed so much at peace after receiving communion. And so as he's heading back to his seat, Da Vinci kind of turns around to follow him with his eyes, and he goes up into the choir loft, and he was one of the singers. And not surprising, right? Using his beautiful voice to glorify God. So, as soon as Mass was over with and the last song was sung, because you're supposed to stay until the last song is sung, as soon as it was over with, he ran to the back of the staircase. The young man came down the stairs to go home, and as they got to the bottom of the staircase, they met. He said, excuse me, sir. My name is Leonardo da Vinci. I'm a painter. I'm doing an image of the Last Supper, and I would like you to pose for me as the person of Jesus. The young man was obviously flattered and said, absolutely, sure, I'd love to. And so Da Vinci takes the young man into the refectory, sits him down on a chair, climbs up a ladder, and begins to paint this young man into the picture as Jesus. After he finishes this young man, putting him in the painting, he started going one by one through the apostles, about one a month for the next year. He went down to the fishing docks to find a big burly guy who looked like he might be the kind of type to put his foot in his mouth a few times, curly gray and white hair, really strong, maybe a little dirty, and that was the person of Peter, right? One by one, when he got to John, he found a young man who was pure and innocent, because that's the guy who always got the answers right in the apostles. He put them one by one into the painting, had him sit in the chair, up on the wall for almost a year. After a year, he looked for his last person. The last person in the painting was someone he needed to find who was, well, the opposite of everybody else. Someone whose eyes had been dimmed, maybe even darkened, whose face was gaunt with a hard life, whose hair was matted and stringy. He was looking for somebody who looked like Judas. He looked around the city of Milan for Judas. He went back to the fishing dock and to the churches. He went to the Bible studies and to the homeless shelters. He went around looking for people that were apostles, right? Holy people, Christians. And he couldn't find a Judas. He couldn't find somebody who looked like what Judas might look like. And so for 10 years, some historians say 11, for a decade, this painting sat unfinished in this rectory in Milan. He couldn't find a Judas. Finally, one day it occurred to him, 10 years later, to find a Judas, I have to go where Judases live, where they would be. And so he went out of the city of Milan to the outskirts where there were several prisons and jails. He began one by one to frequent those places, looking for a guy that could pose as Judas. And so finally, one day, as he's going between the jails, he saw a man sitting down against a wall, his back against the wall, his head in his hands, facing the dirt. His clothes were tattered and torn. You could see his bones and his arms. His face was wrinkled, and his eyes were both keen but black. He looked like somebody who had been through all of it. And so Da Vinci walks up to the man and says, "Excuse me, sir, I'm a painter. I'm not sure what you have right now in your life, but I'll give you food and lodging and a little stipend if you'll sit down and pose for me for a painting I'm doing at the refectory." And the man nodded his head and said yes. Da Vinci took the man back to that same chair in that same room, sat him down and crawled up his ladder, began to paint Judas, the last character in the Last Supper painting. As he's painting Judas into the painting, this man who's modeling begins to cry. Da Vinci looks over his shoulder and says, "Something wrong?" And he said, no, dried his eyes, continue. So he did. Da Vinci began painting again. A few minutes later, again, the man started crying again, and he said, "Listen, sir, I'm not sure what's going on, but I gotta have somebody who's gonna stay still. You know, I'm a painter, I gotta get one face here." And he said, I'm fine. He dried his eyes and mustered his strength and began to paint. Da Vinci began to paint again. Finally, the man starts sobbing uncontrollably. He can't even keep his head up anymore. And so Da Vinci puts down his paintbrush and walks down the ladder and pulls up a chair to sit down and face him. And he says, "Sir, what's wrong?" I'm going to pause that story for a second. Each of us have the potential to look like a Jesus, or an apostle at least, or to look like Judas. Jesus in the gospel actually says it today. He goes off into the desert after 40 days of fasting. That's the most like funny line in scripture, isn't it? After 40 days of fasting, he would hope he'd be hungry. And so the devil comes along and says, "Here's a quick fix, right? You're God. Turn stones into bread." In fact, over in the Holy Land, if you've ever been there, some of the rocks on those in the certain parts of the desert, they actually look like little loaves of bread or like little dinner rolls. He's like, just turn one into bread, right? Assuage your pleasure needs. Make yourself feel better. And Jesus says, no. And then next he says, "I'm going to take you up high in the sky and show you all the kingdoms of the world. Here, I'm going to give you control instead. It's not pleasure that'll tempt you. Here's control." And Jesus says, "I don't need that." The devil for a third time then finally says, and this is actually the trajectory when he tempts you, by the way. At first he says, "This is going to feel good." And once he traps you there, he says, "Now have control." And then finally, the last one is become God. Takes Jesus up to the top of the parapet, the temple, right, where God dwells, and says, "You have now power over this. Throw yourself down and make the angels come and serve you. Make God serve you instead. You be God." Jesus doesn't do it, right? But that's the trajectory for us. How many of us have gotten trapped in those three things, right? Just today? Pleasure, control, or pride. It happens all the time. And that's what we're gonna talk a little bit about tonight and the next two nights. We've been created, we've fallen, we've been saved, and now we gotta do something about it. That's the trajectory we're going to go. If you know that story, it changes everything. Well, let's go back to this story, the Last Supper painting. So Da Vinci, the master painter, comes and pulls the chair up, sits down right beside this man who's sobbing uncontrollably. And he says, "Sir, just tell me what's wrong. What's going on here?" And the model looks at Da Vinci through his tears and says, "Master, do you not recognize me?" Da Vinci looks at the young man and says, "No, I don't. Have we met before?" And the man says, "Yes, You met about 10 years ago at the Duomo after Mass on Sunday, and you asked me to come and sit right here as you painted me into this picture as Jesus. Lent is a time where we focus on getting rid of the things that might make us into Judases. Jesus promises us that if we believe in him, if we make small actions every day to follow his will, we too will be saved. And this Lent and this parish mission, it'll end in a true resurrection for you and for me too.